Hello, everybody. Alongside Don Helbig, I'm Ryan Cern. Welcome to the Pick Six, the podcast by the Attractions Group, where we bring you the latest top stories from the attractions and amusement industry.
Now, before we delve into this week's Pick Six, let me remind our listeners where they can tune into the Attractions Group podcast. You can catch us on your favorite podcast apps. You can like us on Facebook. Be sure to follow us on X. And most definitely, subscribe to our YouTube. Ryan, what's up first?
We're heading to Orlando, where Tiana's Bayou Adventure finally has an open date. The ride will debut on June 28th at Disney's Magic Kingdom. The log ride will replace the former Splash Mountain attraction and feature a tiara-topped water tower, critter characters, and animatronics themed around the princess and the frog. So this has been kind of long-awaited, and even the last time I was there, which has been a couple months now, they were sending boats down the flume. So that's kind of exciting.
It is. I've warmed up to the change, and I was a big Splash Mountain fan, but I've warmed up to this. It looks like it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for. I think it will be. I'm going to try to make it out there for one of the AP preview days, although I can't guarantee I'm going to be able to work that into my schedule. So, what's next?
Busch Gardens Williamsburg in Virginia recently reopened its Loch Ness Monster roller coaster following a major restoration project. The ride features new thematic and experiential elements and a refurbished track. The Loch Ness Monster opened at Busch Gardens in 1978 as the world's first interlocking loop coaster, and it's been a favorite of thrill seekers for the past 46 years.
I'm Ryan, so glad they're
I'm excited. Yeah. Ride. Yeah. I'm super excited about it because I thought it might have been one of those rides that, you know, was getting to the end of its service life, but, you know, really excited about what they've done here.
Yeah. And it's funny because when I went to Busch Gardens last year, or the year before, whenever it was, this was the first coaster we encountered. And we're like, all right, let's get this over with. And it ended up being like one of the better ones in the park. I dare I say probably the best Aero Looper. Definitely the best one in existence now. But what a ride. I really enjoy it. So I'm so glad that they always put the care into it that it needs. And they don't just, oh, end of service life. Let's tear it down and put nothing in its place. You know, nothing like that.
I mean, you know, that is like when you think of Busch Gardens in Williamsburg, Virginia, this is the attraction that comes to my mind first. It wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't be the same without it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Up next. So for the, we're heading to Sandusky. So for those of you wanting to have an experience, the new Top Thrill 2 at Cedar Point, you're going to have to wait a little longer after a mechanical issue forced the park to close the ride for an extended time. Cedar Point made the announcement on social media Sunday morning. The park said Top Thrill 2's manufacturer, Zamperla, is making a mechanical modification to the ride's vehicles. Cedar Point said it cannot confirm when the ride will be back up, but it'll provide updates via its website. It also turned off comments on its social media.
You know, I mean, it's a new coaster. I mean, you expect, you know, especially something of that magnitude, you know, there's going to be some downtime. I you know, we've talked about it before on different episodes that we've done where, you know, you can do all the tests you want, you know, running it with the water dummies and, you know, empty trains and those kind of things. But once you put actual people on it, you know, it changes a little bit like that, and it's going to react a little bit differently and things. So, you know, they're going to get it resolved. The only thing is, you know, you just don't know how long that might be. You know, is that going to be 2 weeks, 2 months, somewhere between? We just don't know.
Yeah. And honestly, I would probably be a lot more concerned and really be more tempted to point the finger if it was for any other ride. But roller coaster trains going 120 miles an hour is very stressful. You know, there's rumors out there about stress fractures in this part or that part, where we don't know for sure. But the fact that they were able to test it, identify it, and now they're just going to make modifications to beef it up more, which is what I presume is going to be the result. I'm just glad that it's getting taken care of now rather than having some sort of really long closure, you know, 2 months from now, next year, something like that. You know, it just does kind of suck that it's their season just opened and their big new attraction isn't a thing right now, you know?
Yeah. Now, you mentioned turning off the comments on social media. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't have done that because, you know, what you're going to do in that situation is it's going to become more widespread because they're just going to take and go somewhere else and make a comment, you know. So I would have just, you know, let everybody, you know, have their say and just, you know, have it right there, one place, instead of making it even more widespread.
Yeah, I guess I don't know if they turned off comments for all of their social posts or what their social's really been doing in the last couple of days. I could see, I wouldn't blame them if they were like, oh, it's a bright sunny day at Cedar Point, and then not having comments on it, because everything's going to be, is Top Thrill 2 opening? Is it going to be, I'm coming on Saturday. Is it going to, it's like.
Well, I mean, you see that. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, on the post that they made about it being down, I would have just, you know, instead of everybody going to other places where maybe somebody wouldn't have seen that, you know, now they've taken it to a different place on the internet to make that comment. So you just make it more widespread. So I would have just, you know, kept it all, you know, within one post and just let people have their say. And, you know, when you're in that position, I mean, you have to face the music, the ride's down, and you have to understand guests are going to be upset and just, you know, let them have their say.
Yeah, I agree.
But that's just me. That's just what
I'm kind of torn on it because the main thing, and one thing that we've definitely learned from experience, or at least from observation over the past year or so, is that when you try to shut down the narrative just moves somewhere where you can really not control it. So now, as opposed to people making comments on the Facebook and whatever, and, you know, the park just handling it, you're getting a lot of, you know, I've seen YouTube videos speculating what's wrong and how they're going to fix it and when it's going to reopen. And it's like, well, I understand that these YouTube videos are just some dude like me speculating, but somebody might see it and think this is from the park, because it's, I mean, YouTube videos look so professional nowadays. I don't know. All right. Yep. Moving right along.
Knott's Berry Farm has postponed the reopening of its Camp Snoopy area until June or early July due to construction delays. The area is undergoing renovations to include a new camp store, a new dining hall, new character experiences, and new rides such as Snoopy's Tender Paw Twister, Camp Snoopy's Off-Road Rally, and Sally's Swing-Along. Now, this marks the first extensive overhaul in a decade since 2014, when it was revamped with rides from Italian-based Zamperla.
Our friends at Zamperla again. By the way, looking at the photo that we used, you supplied this photo to me, but the Snoopy in the front row is the coolest. I just noticed that now. That is so neat. Snoopy riding in the front row. But here's the downside to that. And I know I'm swaying this from the original topic of conversation, but if Snoopy's in the front row like that, the people who are in the true front row that are riding can't see. And I noticed that because the first time I rode Slinky Dog Dash, I couldn't see over Slinky Dog's head. So I don't know. Nonetheless, all right, moving right along. So we're talking about Six Flags Great Escape in Queensbury, New York, is preparing to open for its 70th season on Saturday. This year, the amusement park will debut the new Bobcat wooden roller coaster, combining classic charm and modern innovation. This coaster, by our friends at the Gravity Group, takes riders on an exciting journey for the whole family. Very, very cool.
I'm excited about this. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Great Escape, a nice, nice little park out there in Lake George area of New York. I think that, you know, you travel, it's certainly a park you want to hit and check out the Bobcat, a ground floor up, you know, coaster by our friends at the Gravity Group.
All right, Don, what's our last one?
Well, we finally have an opening date for the new Camp Snoopy Kids expansion at Kings Island. It's going to be May 24th. This new area, it's going to have a roller coaster. It is Snoopy Soapbox Racers. It's going to be a lot of fun for young thrill seekers. We have Beagle Scout Acres, a play area, and a lot of shade there for the parents. And a new restaurant, dining place, kind of counter service. It's called Pigpen's Mess Hall. And, you know, again, May 24th it opens, so the wait is almost over.
Yeah, super exciting. I mean, it's been fun to watch the construction of that. you know, obviously the coaster was completely built and almost ready to be tested by the time the park opened. But it's kind of fun. The park is daily now, but you and I visit regularly. So every weekend you go and you just see something different that's built there. So very, very exciting for Kings Island. That's May, what, 24th?
May 24th, which
is a Friday. Cool. All right. Let's move on to the listener question.
Go ahead. You want to take it? Okay, I'll go ahead and take it. It's Jeff from Defiance, Ohio. He says, again this year, you don't need to be a member of a roller coaster club to attend Coaster Mania at Cedar Point. Do you believe this change reflects Cedar Point's communications director, Tony Clark, aiming to diminish the significance of clubs like the Great Ohio Coaster Club, as membership was previously required to take part in the event?
I don't know. I honestly don't know Tony. I've only met Tony a couple times, so I've never heard him say something along those lines. Certainly it does. And because I'll tell you that when they had their thing where like Coaster Crew wasn't invited to Coaster Mania, that really hurt because people would join other clubs. But now people may see, like, I don't have to join Ace. I don't have to join GOC or whatever to go to Coaster Mania. So if your one purpose for joining these clubs is to go to Coaster Mania, there's no reason for you to join the club. But as you and I have discussed many times, you don't join these clubs to go to events necessarily. If you do, you're kind of doing it.
Well, wrong. You would hope if you're part of the leadership group of a club, and that you would hope that's not the reason people are joining. You would hope they would do it for the camaraderie and maybe some of your own little, get togethers that you have at different parks. I know once you've done it this way and you've opened it to the world, it's kind of hard to go back, to where it would be for Coaster Club members. And I do know for some of the members of different clubs like Great Ohio Coaster Club that it, was a little disheartening for them to see that, one of those perks of being a club member is getting invited to things like Coaster Mania, at Kings Island with Coaster Stock. So that was one of the benefits of joining clubs. You do get invited to those kind of things, but I don't know, what the reason was. Obviously there had to be a good reason to change what you had for 20 plus years, the way you were doing it. But opening it up to everyone, I think from the park perspective, I think you do lose a little bit there because it becomes more of a localized thing. A lot of your pass holders and that want to get in on this. So it becomes more of a glorified season pass thing, with the ERT in the morning and at night.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know, what the reason would have been why Tony there would have gone that route a couple of years ago.
So here's the thing. If you're going to the events, ask him, not necessarily, are you trying to diminish that? Cause that would come off as disrespectful, but I think it's a worthy question to say this required coaster clubs for 20 years and now it doesn't. What are your thoughts on that? I think that's completely fair to ask.
Yeah. Now, one of the things we've seen too, when Coaster Mania first came about, I mean, there was Ace, there was Great Ohio Coaster Club, and maybe, another club or two. Now there's a lot of different clubs and you have to kind of narrow it down and make sure that, you're always going to leave somebody out when you make your list because you can't open it to every single club. But you also have a lot of people now that have left clubs and they've launched their own YouTube channels and, their own, blogs, those different things that they're all doing out there now. So it's certainly a different world that we're living in today than we were maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago.
I agree. Yeah. Great question. Thanks for submitting it. And if you're going to Coaster Mania, enjoy yourself. Hey, that's another Pick Six. Make sure you follow us on all your favorite podcast apps, Apple, Google, Spotify, and smash that subscribe button on YouTube. We'll see you next week, everybody.